26.
He was forced into war by a misunderstanding, and always claimed he was no warrior, yet he came to fight as well as any man. This is not a good idea, mistress.
Orsir sat on his haunches, watching Vin unpack a large, flat box. Ellen thinks it's the only way, she said, pulling off the top of the box. The luxurious blue dress lay wrapped within. She pulled it out, noting its comparatively light weight. She walked over to the changing screen and began to disrobe.
And the assault on the walls yesterday? Orsir asked.
That was a warning, she said, continuing to unbutton her shirt. Not a serious attack.
Though apparently it had really unsettled the assembly. Perhaps that had been the point. Clubs could say all he wished about strategy and testing the walls, but from Vin's standpoint, the thing Straff had gained most was even more fear and chaos inside Luthadel. Only a few weeks of being besieged, and the city was already strained near to breaking. Food was terribly expensive, and Ellen had been forced to open the city stockpiles. The people were on edge. Some few thought the attack had been a victory for Luthadel, taking it as a good sign that the army had been repelled. Most, however, were simply even more scared than they had been before. But again, Vin was left with a conundrum. How to react, facing such an overpowering force? Cower? Or try to continue with life? Straff had tested the walls, true, but he had maintained the larger part of his army, back and in position, should Set have tried to make an opportunistic attack at that time. He'd wanted information, and he'd wanted to intimidate the city.
I still don't know if this meeting is a good idea, Orsir said. The attack aside, Straff is not a man to be trusted. Kelsier had me study all of the major noblemen in the city when I was preparing to become Lord Renew. Straff is deceitful and harsh, even for a human.
Vin sighed, removing her trousers, then pulled on the dress's slip. It wasn't as tight as some and gave her a lot of room to move through the thigh and legs.
Good so far.
Orsir's objection was logical. One of the first things she had learned on the street was to avoid situations where it was difficult to flee. Her every instinct rebelled at the idea of walking into Straff's camp. Ellen had made his decision, however, and Vin understood that she needed to support him. In fact, she was even coming to agree with the move. Straff wanted to intimidate the entire city, but he really wasn't as threatening as he thought. Not as long as he had to worry about Set. Vin had had enough of intimidation in her life. In a way, Straff's attack on the walls left her feeling even more determined to manipulate him to their own ends. Going into his camp seemed a bit crazy on first impression, but the more she thought about it, the more she realized that it was the only way they were going to get to Straff. He had to see them as weak, had to feel that his bullying tactics had worked. That was the only way they would win. That meant doing something she didn't like. It meant being surrounded, entering the enemy's den. However, if Ellen did manage to get out of the camp safely, it would provide a large morale boost for the city. Beyond that, it would make Ham and the rest of the crew more confident in Ellen. Nobody would even have questioned the idea of Kelsier entering an enemy camp to negotiate. In fact, they probably would have expected him to come back from the negotiations, somehow having convinced Straff to surrender.
I just need to make sure he comes back out safely, Vin thought, pulling on the dress. Straff can display all the muscle he wants. None of it will matter if we're the ones directing his attacks.
She nodded to herself, smoothing her dress. Then she walked out from behind the changing screen, studying herself in her mirror. Though the dressmaker had obviously sewn it to retain a traditional form, it didn't have a completely triangular bell shape, but instead fell a bit straighter down along her thighs. It was cut open near the shoulders, though it had tight sleeves and open cuffs, and the waist bent with her and gave her a good range of motion. Vin stretched a bit, jumping, twisting. She was surprised at how light the dress felt,
and how well she moved in it. Of course, any skirt would hardly be ideal for fighting, but this one would be an enormous improvement over the bulky creations she had worn at the parties a year before.
"Well?"
she asked, spinning. Orsier raised a canine eyebrow.
"What?"
"What do you think?"
Orsier cocked his head.
"Why ask me?"
"Because I care what you think," Vin said.
"The dress is very nice, mistress. Though, to be honest, I have always found the garments to be a little ridiculous. All of that cloth and color, it doesn't seem very practical."
"Yes, I know,"
Vin said, using a pair of sapphire barrettes to pin the sides of her hair back a bit from her face.
"But, well, I'd forgotten how much fun these things could be to wear."
"I fail to see why that would be, mistress."
"That's because you're a man."
"Actually, I'm a Chandra."
"But you're a boy Chandra."
"How do you know that?" Orsier asked. "Gender is not easy to tell in my people, since our forms are fluid."
Vin looked at him, raising an eyebrow.
"I can tell."
Then she turned back to her jewelry cabinet. She didn't have much. Though the crew had outfitted her with a good sampling of jewelry during her days as valet, she had given most of it to Elland to help fund various projects. She had, however, kept a few of her favorites, as if she'd known that she'd someday find her way back into a dress.
"I'm just wearing it this once," she thought. "This still isn't me."
She snapped on a sapphire bracelet. Like her barrettes, it contained no metal. The gemstones were set into a thick hardwood that closed with a wooden twist clasp. The only metal on her body, then, would be her coins, her metal vial, and the single earring, kept by Kelsier's suggestion as a bit of metal she could push on in an emergency.
"Mistress,"
Orsier said, pulling something out from under her bed with his paw, a sheet of paper.
"This fell from the box as you were opening it."
He grabbed it between two of his surprisingly dexterous paw fingers and held it up for her. Vin accepted the paper. "Lady Eyre," it read. "I made the chest and bodice extra tight to give support and cut the skirts so they would resist flaring in case you need to jump. There are slits for metal vials in each of the cuffs as well as a ripple in the cloth cut to obscure a dagger strapped around each forearm. I hope you find the alterations suitable. Feldieu, dressmaker." She glanced down, noting the cuffs. They were thick and wide, and the way they pointed at the sides made perfect hiding places. Though the sleeves were tight around the upper arms, the forearms were looser, and she could see where the daggers could be strapped.
"It seems that he has made dresses for Mistborn before,"
Orsier noted.
"Probably,"
Vin said. She moved over to her dressing mirror to apply a little makeup and found that several of her makeup pads had dried out.
"Guess I haven't done this for a while either."
"What time are we leaving, mistress?" Orsier asked.
Vin paused.
"Actually, Orsier, I wasn't planning to bring you. I still intend to keep your cover with the other people in the palace, and I think it would look very suspicious of me to bring my pet dog on this particular trip."
Orsier was silent for a moment.
"Oh," he said. "Of course. Good luck, then, mistress."
Vin felt only a tiny stab of disappointment. She'd expected him to object more. She pushed the emotion aside. Why should she fault him? He'd been the one to rightly point out the dangers of going into the camp. Orsier simply lay down, resting head on paws as he watched her continue applying her makeup.
"Borel," Ham said, "you should at least let us send you in your own carriage."
Elland shook his head, straightening his jacket as he looked in the mirror.
"That would require sending in a coachman, Ham."
"Right,"
Ham said.
"Who would be me?"
"One man won't make a difference in getting us out of that camp. And the fewer people I take with me, the fewer people Vin and I have to worry about."
Ham shook his head.
Elland
laid a hand on Ham's shoulder. "I appreciate your concern, Ham, but I can do this.
If there's one man in this world I can manipulate, it's my father. I'll come out of this with him feeling assured that he has the city in his pocket.
Ham sighed.
All right. Oh, one other thing, Ellen said hesitantly.
Yes?
Would you mind calling me Ellen instead of just El? Ham chuckled.
I suppose that one's easy enough to do.
Ellen smiled thankfully. It's not what Tyndall wanted, but it's a start. We'll worry about the Your Majesty later.
The door opened, and Doxon walked in.
Ellen, he said, this just arrived for you.
He held up a sheet of paper.
From the Assembly?
Ellen asked. Doxon nodded.
They're not happy about you missing the meeting this evening.
Well, I can't change the appointment with Straff just because they want to meet a day early, Ellen said. Tell them I'll try and visit when I get back.
Doxon nodded, then turned as a rustling sounded from behind him. He stepped to the side, a strange look on his face, as Vin walked up to the doorway. And she was wearing a dress, a beautiful blue gown that was slicker than the common courtly fare. Her black hair sparkled with a pair of sapphire barrettes, and she seemed different. More feminine, or rather more confident in her femininity.
How much she's changed since I first met her, Ellen thought, smiling.
Almost 2 years had passed. Then she had been a youth, albeit one with the life experiences of someone far older. Now she was a woman, a very dangerous woman, but one who still looked up at him with eyes that were just a bit uncertain, just a bit insecure.
Beautiful, Ellen whispered.
She smiled.
Vin,
Ham said, turning.
You're wearing a dress.
Vin flushed.
What did you expect, Ham? That I would meet with the King of the Northern Dominance in trousers?
Well, Ham said, actually, yes.
Ellen chuckled.
Just because you insist on going about everywhere in casual clothing, Ham, doesn't mean that everyone does.
Honestly, don't you get tired of those vests?
Ham shrugged. They're easy. And simple.
And cold, Vin said, rubbing her arms. I'm glad I asked for something with sleeves.
Be thankful for the weather, Ham said. Every chill you suffer will seem far worse to the men out in those armies.
Ellen nodded. Winter had technically started. The weather probably wouldn't get bad enough to be more than a mild discomfort. They rarely got snow in the Central Dominance. But the chill nights certainly wouldn't improve morale.
Well, let's go, Vin said. The sooner we get this over with, the better.
Ellen stepped forward, smiling, taking Vin's hands.
I appreciate this, Vin, he said quietly. And you really do look gorgeous. If we weren't marching off to near certain doom, I'd be tempted to command a ball be held tonight just for the opportunity to show you off.
Vin smiled.
Near certain doom, is that compelling?
Guess I've been spending too much time with the crew.
He leaned down to kiss her, but she yelped and jumped back.
It took me the better part of an hour to get this makeup on right, she snapped. No kissing.
Ellen chuckled as Captain Demu poked his head in the door.
Your Majesty, the carriage has arrived.
Ellen looked at Vin. She nodded.
Let's go, he said.
Sitting inside the carriage Straff had sent for them, Ellen could see a solemn group standing on the wall, watching them roll away. The sun was near to setting.
He commands us to come in the evening. We'll have to leave when the mists are out, Ellen thought. A crafty way of pointing out how much power he has over us.
It was his father's way, a move in a way that was similar to the attack on the walls the day before. To Straff, everything was about posturing. Ellen had watched his father at court, and had seen him manipulate even obligators. By holding the contract to oversee the Lord Ruler's Atium mine, Straff Venture had played a game even more dangerous than his fellow noblemen. And he had played that game very well. He hadn't factored in Kelsier throwing chaos into the mix, but who had? Since the collapse, Straff had secured the most stable and most powerful kingdom in the Final Empire. He was a crafty, careful man who knew how to plan for years to get what he wanted. And this was the man Elend had to manipulate.
"You look worried," Vin said.
She was across from him in the carriage, sitting in a prim, ladylike posture. It was as if donning a dress somehow granted her new habits and mannerisms, or just a return to old ones. She'd once been able to act like a noblewoman well enough to fool Elend.
"We'll be all right," she said. "Straff won't hurt you. Even if things go bad, he won't dare make a martyr of you."
"Oh, I'm not worried about my safety," Elend said. Vin raised an eyebrow.
"Because?"
"Because I have you," Elend said with a smile. "You're worth an army, Vin." This, however, didn't seem to console her. "Come here," he said, scooting over and waving her to the seat beside him. She rose and moved across the carriage, but paused, eyeing him.
"Make up."
"I'll be careful," Elend promised. She nodded, sitting and letting him put an arm around her.
"Be careful of the hair, too," she said. "And your suit coat. Don't get anything on it."
"When did you get so fashion-conscious?" he asked.
"It's the dress," Vin said with a sigh. "As soon as I put it on, all of Sazed's lessons started coming back to me."
"I really do like the dress on you," Elend said. Vin shook her head. "What?" Elend asked, as the carriage bumped, pushing her a bit closer to him. Another new perfume, he thought. At least that's one habit she's never got out of.
"This isn't me, Elend," she said quietly. "This dress, these mannerisms, they're a lie."
Elend sat quietly for a moment.
"No objections?" Vin said. "Everyone else thinks I'm speaking nonsense."
"I don't know," Elend said honestly. "Changing into my new clothes made me feel different, so what you say makes sense. If wearing dresses feels wrong to you, then you don't have to wear them. I want you to be happy, Vin." Vin smiled, looking up at him. Then she leaned up and kissed him. "I thought you said none of that," he said.
"From you," she said. "I'm Mistborn. We're more precise."
Elend smiled, though he couldn't quite feel jovial. Conversation, however, did keep him from fretting. "I feel uncomfortable in these clothes sometimes. Everyone expects so much more from me when I wear them. They expect a king."
"When I wear a dress," Vin said, "they expect a lady. Then they're disappointed when they find me instead."
"Anyone who would feel disappointed to find you is too dense to be of any relevance," Elend said. "I don't want you to be like them, Vin. They're not honest. They don't care. I like you as you are."
"Tyndall thinks I can be both," Vin said. "A woman and a Mistborn."
"Tyndall is wise," Elend said. "A bit brutal, but wise. You should listen to her."
"You just told me you like me how I am."
"I do," Elend said. "But I'd like you however you were, Vin. I love you. The question is, how do you like yourself?" That gave her pause. "Clothing doesn't really change a man," Elend said. "But it changes how others react to him." Tyndall's words. I think the trick is convincing yourself that you deserve the reactions you get. You can wear the court's dresses, Vin, but make them your own. Don't worry that you aren't giving people what they want. Give them who you are, and let that be enough." He paused, smiling. "It was for me." She smiled back, then carefully leaned against him.
"All right," she said. "Enough insecurity for the moment. Let's review. Tell me more about your father's disposition."
"He's a perfect imperial nobleman. Ruthless, clever, and infatuated with power. You remember my
experience when I was 13?
Vin nodded.
Well, Father was very fond of Ska brothels. I think that he liked how strong he felt by taking a girl while knowing that she would be killed for his passion. He keeps several dozen mistresses, and if they don't please him, they get removed.
Vin muttered something quietly in response to this.
He's the same way with political allies. One didn't ally with House Venture. One agreed to be dominated by House Venture. If you weren't willing to be our slave, then you didn't get to contract with us.
Vin nodded.
I've known crew leaders like that.
And how did you survive when they turned an eye toward you?
By acting unimportant, Vin said. By crawling on the ground when they passed and by never giving them reason to challenge me. Exactly what you're planning to do tonight.
Ellen nodded.
Be careful, Vin said. Don't let Straff think that you're mocking him.
All right.
And don't promise too much, Vin said. Act like you're trying to seem tough. Let him think he's bullying you into doing what he wants. He'll enjoy that.
You've had experience with this before, I see.
Too much of it, Vin said. But you've heard this before.
Ellen nodded. They'd planned and replanned this meeting. Now he simply had to do what the crew had taught him.
Make Straff think we're weak, imply we'll give him the city. But only if he helps us against Set first.
Outside the window, Ellen could see that they were approaching Straff's army.
So big, he thought.
Where did Father learn to administrate a force like this? Ellen had hoped, perhaps, that his father's lack of military experience would translate to a poorly run army. Yet the tents were arranged in a careful pattern, and the soldiers wore neat uniforms. Vin moved over to her window, looking out with avid eyes, showing far more interest than an imperial noblewoman would have dared.
Look, she said, pointing.
What? Ellen asked, leaning over.
Obligator, Vin said.
Ellen looked over her shoulder, spotting the former imperial priest, the skin around his eyes tattooed in a wide pattern, directing a line of soldiers outside a tent.
So that's it. He's using obligators to administrate.
Vin shrugged.
It makes sense. They'd know how to manage large groups of people.
And how to supply them, Ellen said.
Yes, it's a good idea. But it's still surprising.
It implies that he still needs obligators, and that he's still subject to the Lord Ruler's authority. Most of the other kings threw off the obligators as soon as they could.
Vin frowned. I thought you said your father likes being in power.
He does, Ellen said. But he also likes powerful tools. He always keeps a chondra, and he has a history of associating with dangerous allomancers. He believes that he can control them, and he probably believes the same thing about the obligators.
The carriage slowed, then stopped beside a large tent. Straff Venture emerged a moment later. Ellen's father had always been a large man, firm of figure with a commanding posture. The new beard only heightened the effect. He wore a sharp, well-cut suit, just like the suits he had tried to get Ellen to wear as a boy. That was when Ellen had begun wearing his clothing disheveled, the buttons undone, the jackets too large. Anything to separate him from his father. Ellen's defiance had never been meaningful, however. He had annoyed Straff, pulling small stunts and acting foolish when he knew he could get away with it. None of it had mattered. Not until that final night. Luthadel in flames, the Ska rebellion running out of control, threatening to bring down the entire city. A night of chaos and destruction, with Vin trapped somewhere within it. Then Ellen had stood up to Straff Venture.
I'm not the same boy you pushed around, Father.
Vin squeezed his arm and Ellen climbed out of the carriage as the coachman opened the door. Straff waited quietly, a strange look on his face as Ellen raised a hand to help Vin down.
You came, Straff said.
You seem surprised, Father.
Straff shook his head.
I see that you're just as big an idiot as ever, boy. You're in my power now.
I could have you killed with a bare wave of my hand.
He raised his arm as if to do just that. Now's the moment, Elend thought, heart pumping. I've always been in your power, father, he said. You could have had me killed months ago, could have taken my city away at a bare whim. I don't see how my coming here changes anything. Straff hesitated. We came for dinner, Ellen said. I had hoped to give you a chance to meet Vin, and had hoped that we might discuss certain issues of particular import to you. Straff frowned. That's right, Ellen thought. Wonder if I have some offer yet to make. You know that the first man to play his hand usually loses. Straff wouldn't pass up an opportunity for gain, even a slim opportunity like the one Elend presented. He probably figured there was nothing Elend could say that was of real importance. But could he be sure? What did he have to lose?
Go and confirm with my chef that there will be three for dinner, Straff said to a servant. Elend let out a lightly held breath. That girl's your mistborn, then? Straff asked.
Elend nodded.
Cute little thing, Straff said. Tell her to stop soothing my emotions.
Vin flushed. Straff nodded toward the tent. Elend led Vin forward, though she glanced over her shoulder, obviously not liking the idea of exposing her back to Straff. Little bit late for that, Elend thought. The tent chamber was what Elend would have expected of his father. Stuffed with pillows and rich furniture, very little of which Straff would actually use. Straff furnished to suggest his power. Like the massive keeps of Luthadel, a nobleman's surroundings were an expression of how important he was. Vin waited quietly, tensely, at Ellen's side in the center of the room.
He's good, she whispered. I was as subtle as I can manage, and he still noticed my touch.
Ellen nodded. He's also a tin eye, he said in a normal voice, so he's probably listening to us right now. Ellen looked toward the door. Straff walked in a few moments later, giving no indication as to whether he had heard Vin or not. A group of servants entered a few moments later, carrying a large dining table. Vin inhaled sharply. The servants were Ska, Imperial Ska, after the old tradition. They were ragged, their clothing made of torn smocks and showed bruises from a recent beating. They carried their loads with lowered eyes.
Why the reaction, girl? Straff asked. Oh, that's right. You're Ska, aren't you? Pretty dress, notwithstanding. Elend is very kind. I wouldn't have let you wear something like that.
Or much at all, his tone implied. Vin shot Straff a look, but pulled a little closer to Elend, grabbing his arm. Again, Straff's words were only about posturing. Straff was cruel, but only insofar as it served him. He wanted to make Vin uncomfortable. Which he seemed to be doing. Elend frowned, glancing down, and caught just a hint of a sly smile on her lips.
Breeze has told me that Vin is more subtle with her allomancy than most soothers, he recalled. Father's good, but for him to pick out her touch. She let him, of course.
Elend looked back at Straff, who hit one of the Ska servants on their way out.
I hope none of them are your relatives, Straff said to Vin. They haven't been very diligent lately. I might have to execute a few.
I'm not Ska anymore, Vin said quietly. I'm a noblewoman.
Straff just laughed. He had already dismissed Vin as a threat. He knew she was mistborn. He must have heard that she was dangerous. And yet he now assumed that she was weak and inconsequential.
She is good at this, Ellen thought with wonder.
Servants began to bring in a feast that was impressive considering the circumstances. As they waited, Straff turned to an aide.
Send in Hazel, he ordered, and tell her to be quick.
He seems less reserved than I remember, Ellen thought.
In the Lord Emperor's day, a good nobleman had been stiff and inhibited when in public, though many had turned to extravagant indulgence when in private.
They would dance and have quiet dinner conversation at the ball, for instance, but would enjoy whores and drunkenness in the small hours of night.
"Why the beard, father?" Elland asked. "Last I knew, those weren't in fashion."
"I set the fashion now, boy," Straff said. "Sit."
Vin waited respectfully, Elland noticed, until Elland was seated before taking her place. She managed to maintain an air of half-jumpiness. She'd look Straff in the eyes, but always gave a reflexive twitch, as if Partiter wanted to glance away.
"Now," Straff said, "tell me why you're here."
"I thought it was obvious, father," Elland said. "I'm here to discuss our alliance."
Straff raised an eyebrow.
"Alliance? We both just agreed that your life is mine. I don't see a need to ally with you."
"Perhaps," Elland said, "but there are other factors at play here. I assume that you weren't expecting Set's arrival."
"Set is of little concern," Straff said,
turning his attention to the meal. Big slabs of barely cooked beef. Vin wrinkled her nose, though Elland couldn't tell if that was part of her act or not. Elland cut his steak.
"A man with an army nearly as large as your own is hardly of little concern, father."
Straff shrugged.
"He'll be of no trouble to me once I have the city walls. You'll turn those over to me as part of our alliance, I assume."
"And invite Set to attack the city?" Elland said.
"Yes, together you and I could hold against him. But why go on the defensive? Why let him weaken our fortifications and possibly just continue this siege until both of our armies are starving? We need to attack him, father."
Straff snorted.
"You think I need your help to do so?"
"You do if you want to beat him with any measure of assured success," Elland said. "We can take him easily together, but never alone. We need each other. Let's attack. You leading your armies, me leading mine."
"Why are you so eager?" Straff asked, narrowing his eyes.
"Because I want to prove something," Elland said. "Look, we both know you're going to take Luthadel from me. But if we ride together against Set first, it will look like I wanted to ally with you all along. I'll be able to give you the city without looking like a complete buffoon. I can spin it that I brought in my father to help us against the army I knew was coming. I can turn the city over to you, and then become your heir again. We both get what we want. But only once Set is dead."
Straff paused, and Elland could see that his words were having an effect.
"Yes," he thought. "Think that I'm just the same boy you left behind. Eccentric, eager to resist you for silly reasons. And saving face is a very venture thing to do."
"No,"
Straff said. Elland started.
"No," Straff said again, turning to his meal. "That's not how we're going to do this, boy. I'll decide when, or even if, I attack Set."
That should have worked, Elland thought. He studied Straff, trying to judge what was wrong. There was a faint hesitance about his father. "I need more information," he thought. He glanced to his side to where Vin sat, spinning something lightly in her hand. Her fork. She met his eyes, then tapped it lightly. "Metal," Elland thought. "Good idea." He looked over at Straff.
"You came for the Atium," he said. "You don't have to conquer my city to get it."
Straff leaned forward.
"Why haven't you spent it?"
"Nothing brings sharks faster than fresh blood, father," Elland said. "Spending large amounts of Atium would only have indicated for certain that I had it. A bad idea, considering the trouble we took to squelch those rumors."
There was a sudden motion at the front of the tent, and soon a flustered young girl entered. She wore a ball gown, red, and had her black hair pulled back into a long, flowing tail. She was perhaps 15.
"Hussel,"
Straff said, pointing to the chair next to him. The girl nodded obediently, scurrying forward to sit beside Straff. She was done up in makeup, and the dress was low-cut. Elland had little doubt as to her relationship with Straff. Straff smiled and chewed his food, calm and gentlemanly. The girl looked a little bit like Vin. Same almond face, similar dark hair, same fine features and thin build. It was a statement. I can get one just like yours, only younger and prettier. More posturing. It was that moment, that smirk in Straff's eyes, which reminded Elend more than ever why he hated his father.
Perhaps we can make a deal, boy, Straff said. Deliver the ATM to me and I'll deal with Set.
Getting it to you will take time, Elend said.
Why? Straff asked. ATM is light.
There's a lot of it.
Not so much you couldn't pack it on a cart and send it out, Straff said.
It's more complicated than that, Elend said.
I don't think it is, Straff said, smiling. You just don't want to give it to me.
Elend frowned. We don't have it, Vin whispered. Straff turned. We never found it, she said. Kelsier overthrew the Lord Ruler just so we could get that ATM. But we never could find out where the metal was. It probably wasn't ever in the city.
Wasn't expecting that, Elend thought.
Of course, Vin tended to do things by instinct, much as Kelsier was said to have done. All the planning in the world could go out the window with Vin around, but what she did instead was usually better. Straff sat for a moment. He seemed to believe Vin.
So you really have nothing at all to offer me?
I need to act weak, Elend remembered. Need him to think he can take the city any time, but also think it isn't worth taking right now. He began to tap the table quietly with his index finger, trying to look nervous. If Straff thinks we don't have the ATM, then he'll be a lot less likely to risk attacking the city. Less gain. That's why Vin said what she did.
Vin doesn't know what she's talking about, Elend said. I've kept the ATM hidden, even from her. I'm sure we can arrange something, Father.
No, Straff said, now sounding amused. You really don't have it. Zane said, but well, I didn't believe.
Straff shook his head, turning back toward his meal. The girl at his side didn't eat. She sat quietly, like the ornament she was expected to be. Straff took a long drink of his wine, then let out a satisfied sigh. He looked at his child mistress.
Leave us, he said.
She immediately did as commanded.
You too, Straff said to Vin.
Vin stiffened slightly. She looked toward Elend.
It's all right, he said slowly.
She paused, then nodded. Straff himself was little danger to Elend, and she was a Mistborn. If something went wrong, she could get to Elend quickly. And if she left, it would do what they wanted. Make Elend look less powerful, in a better position to deal with Straff. Hopefully.
I'll just wait outside, Vin said quietly, withdrawing.